privilege for me to be here this morning to hear you good singing and to hear my good friend L.J.B. Husky, my good friend Elder Jeff Patterson expound on the Word of God, and my friend Elder Joe Hayes, who has offered up such an eloquent prayer for this meeting this morning. I need their fellowship.
Yeah.
I need your fellowship this morning.
Yeah.
Whether you've stood behind this book board or publicly offered a prayer. But greater than that, we need the fellowship of God.
Yes. Amen.
As we worship God this day. So you pray for me for the time that I stand before you today. In the Gospel according to St. John, we have the principle laid down of the eternity of Christ.
Yeah.
The Christian church, church as we know it today, has always held to the principle of the eternal sonship of Jesus Christ. We do not believe that Jesus Christ became the Son of God when he was born in Bethlehem, Judea. We do believe that he became what he had not been. That is, God manifest in the flesh.
Amen.
Now, if you can get your mind around that today, then we can, to some degree, understand what St. John began with here in the Gospel of St. John, and almost the same principle in the writings of the Apostle John. In chapter 1 of 1 John, we read these particular verses of Scripture and how that it brings to us the blessing of understanding how that the harmony of the Gospels is never in question. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. John didn't say, this is what somebody said, somebody said, somebody saw. But he actually said, we heard him speak, we saw him with our eyes, we looked at him as we traveled, and our hands physically and actually handled the word of life. What a statement. I wish I'd said that. Our hands actually handled the word of life. Now listen to St. John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, capital W-R-D.
Yeah.
And the capital W-R-D was with God. And the capital W-R-D was God.
Yeah.
The same, capital W-R-D, was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, capital W-R-D. And without Him, capital W-R-D, was not anything made that was made. In Him, capital W-R-D, was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now that's self-explanatory in the way that it is presented here in St. John chapter 1. But then the tenor of the text changes all at once. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now I want to tell you, to serving God in the ministry, and you remember this, that preaching has a human side to it. If it was all coming out from God, it'd come out perfect, wouldn't it? But I've heard Brother Joe Hayes preach enough, sometimes he'll say 2 Corinthians when he means 2 Timothy. I've heard Brother Virgil preach enough to where he may say the 6th chapter of Romans when he means the 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I've heard J.D. preach enough to where he may say pot when he means pan. I've heard Brother David preach enough to where he may say Ezekiel when he means Jeremiah. Now, I personated those because I know they do the same thing to me. But I want to tell you that in my preaching and their preaching and whoever else here that is the minister of the gospel, you as a congregation better remember this, that preaching has a human side to it. If it was all of God, then it would come out perfect. But it doesn't always come out perfect. But God's word is perfect. Whether we present it in perfection or not, that word is perfect, and all of it harmonizes in every degree when it is rightly divided and properly applied. There was a man sent from God. This man did not go of his own accord, but he was sent from God. The Old Testament calls him, and you understand it, the Old Testament calls him the messenger. The Old Testament testifies of him, that behold, I'll send my messenger. The Bible tells us that John came on the scene preaching in the wilderness. John baptized. Who did he baptize? You know, John baptized the Lord Jesus, didn't he? I've heard some of our people one time say, Brother J.B., that John's baptism wasn't valid. Well, I want to tell you, if John's wasn't valid, Jesus wasn't valid. Because that's all the baptism Jesus had. The church began with the baptism of John. It was a legal and it was a valid baptism. John came for a witness. Now, what is a witness? Let's define that. Hedges Rules of Debate said we will define our terms. A witness is one that may be called to testify of an event at which he was present. That's a valid definition for a witness. He came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, the capital W-R-D, that all men, if you read this very carefully and notice it, you'll see that men is a word that's been instituted are a word that has been inserted by the translators. Read it right here. It's in italics. We can just as well read this, that all through him might believe. Get that. Look at that word. The word men there was not in the original translation. The word men was a word that was inserted by the translators. That all through him might believe. Now I'm going to take a position today. The only way that you ever believe that Jesus is the Christ and God is the Creator is through him.
Yeah.
Not through the gospel. Not through the evangelists, these brethren already proved beyond a doubt, but through him is how that we are able to believe. I affirm to you today that when you can find a believer, when you see one that is a believer, you can rest assured, as 1 John 5:1 begins to tell us, that he that believeth is not will be, but is born of God. That man that believes is born of God. Now that's not what I'm going to preach about, but I want you to get what I'm saying here. The Bible says, he was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, I'm preaching to the choir this morning, but I know that you understand that every man doesn't always mean every son of Adam's race. Doesn't always mean that. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 7 and verse 21, and I want you to notice one verse here. And I want to give that to you, and this will satisfy that question. Go with me to the book of Genesis, and you'll find out here that the Bible says that all flesh died. And the Bible not only says that, but he says that as all flesh died in verse 21, that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beasts and of every creeping thing upon the earth, and every man. You hear that? He said every man died. Well, you've got enough sense to know every man didn't die, did he? Because 8 souls were saved. 8 souls. But every man on the outside of the ark died. Every man on the outside of the ark, that qualifies that statement, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All right, now, I'm not going to charge you for that, but listen now to what he said. He says this now. He says that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I affirm to you today, just as our brother has just preached to you, that every elect child of God that comes into the world has or will have the light of the Lord Jesus Christ instilled in that earthen vessel as it pleases God to work in him. Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. All right. Now, he says this now, and I'm going to skip some things down here. And the Bible says this. He came to his own. Came to his own. And his own received him not. Now he talks about his own nation. I'm going to skip some things down here. And the Bible says this. He came to his own. Came to his own. And his own received him not. Now, he talks about his own nation, the nation of Israel. He came to his own, and his own received him not. You know what they said about it? They said, well, this man's not a God, he's a devil. He's casting out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. He plucked corn on the Sabbath day. He violates Moses' law. I want to tell you today, my friend, that when the Lord Jesus came into this world, they were not looking for him to come as he came. They were looking for him to come as a potentate. They were looking for him to come in royalty. They were looking for him to come in a way that mystified their own way of thinking. But I also affirm to you today that the same Jesus that was born in an ox manger in Bethlehem of Judea was also the God of all worlds and the King of Israel itself.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. He came to his own. But his own received him not. But as many as received him. There were some that did receive him. There were Jews that did receive him. As many as did receive him, listen to this now, to them gave he power.
That's right.
To become the sons of God.
Yep, yes.
Even to them that believe on his name.
Yeah.
That word power there means authority.
Yeah.
As many as received him, to them gave he power or authority to become the sons of God. Now I want to tell you right now, somebody quoted this morning, that if you are a part of the elect family of God, chosen in Christ before the world began, you are right now a son of God.
Yeah.
You're not going to have to wait till you get to heaven to become a son of God. You're a son of God right now. 1 John chapter 3 says, beloved, now are we the sons of God.
Yeah.
Now. I know what the word now means. It means now. That means now. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Right now, you are a son of God. You are bone of his bone. You are flesh of his flesh. When he died, you died. When he arose, you arose.
Yeah.
And greater than that, my friend, you legally and positionally are in him, members of his body, members of his bones. Today, you in that body sit at the right hand of God.
Yeah.
Legally and positionally. Now, we're waiting for the reality of that. But legally and positionally, you are seated at the right hand of God in his body. Go and maybe the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 4, and notice the terminology that Paul uses here. In Galatians chapter 4, and beginning with verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come. You know, I like the way that reads. When the fullness of the time was come. I affirm to you today that Jesus Christ was not born 1 minute sooner or 1 minute later than God ordained it in the ancients of eternity. When the fullness, the complete production, the fullness of the Godhead, the totality of the divine nature made a real physical appearance right here in time, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. For what reason? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons.
Yeah.
And because ye are sons. Get now. The word are is a being verb that denotes a condition that exists at the present time. Because ye are sons. You're not going to wait till you get to be sons, but because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. How does God do that? God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father.
Yeah.
Therefore, thou art no more a servant. Oh, get that.
Right.
Thou art no more a servant, but a son. You were a servant of sin. And now, being made free from that, from the 6th chapter of the book of Romans, therefore thou art no more a servant but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Oh, what a statement. What a blessing it is. Praise the Lord, my friend, that I've been set free from something and I've been made a partaker of something that by nature I could not attain to. You've been set free to serve. Hear that?
Yeah.
You ever have the opportunity to go to Charleston, South Carolina? I don't know whether it's still there or not, New Orleans, Louisiana, Greenville, Mississippi. When you go there, there was a slave block there. We lived through a terrible time in the Deep South. Because of that, we're still paying for that today. Now, I know they are extremes, and that's another subject for another day. But I'll tell you, during those many years, there were slaves that were brought to that auction block, and they were auctioned off like common animals. But did you know what? A story, and this is very true by historians, that there was a young black man that was carried to the auction block in Greenville, Mississippi. And as he was there, they examined that human being like they would any kind of an animal to see about his physical ability. And there he stood, a specimen of manhood. And all of a sudden, the auctioneer began to bark off his rhetoric. And as that rhetoric began to go on, we began to hear a price over here, a bid over here, a bid over there, a bid back there. And finally, the auctioneer ceased his barking and rapped the bookboard with his gavel and said, "Sold." That man that was there, that had bought that man, walked up there to the chains that held him, took a key and unlocked the chains and threw them away and said, "You're a free man." And that old slave said, "I'll serve you forever." You get that, my friend? You were a slave to sin, but through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power and authority he had, who owned you, he set you free to serve. Thank God today we are set free to serve because we've been made free through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what he said. He came to his own and his own received him not. But as many as received him gave he to them power or the authority to become the sons of God. They were already sons of God in the eternal sense. But he gave them authority, Brother Virgil, to become the sons of God in a manifest sense. In a manifest sense. Even to them, what? That believe on his name. Don't forget that. But I'm glad he didn't stop there, Jim. Which were born. Not are being born, but those who had authority to become the sons of God were born. They were born. Not going to be born if they meet a condition. Not going to be born if they hear Brother David preach. Not going to be born if they be baptized. Not going to be born if they successfully outrun the devil till they die. But they were born. Not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You hear? That seals the deal, doesn't it? You've been set free, my friend. The chains are gone. You were sons of God in an eternal sense from all eternity. But now you have the authority, because you're born of God, to become sons of God in a manifest sense. To follow him in the ways that he has ordered us in God's word. You know what the Bible says? Listen to it in the 8th chapter book of Romans. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And not will be, but if you're led by the Spirit of God, you are right now. Right now, a son of God. Now I want to tell you something. You can drag a log. You know, the other day I took my tractor and drug a log out of the woods. And it's more than my tractor could do near it. But you know what I was doing? I was dragging. That log wasn't alive. I wasn't leading it. I was dragging it. I drug a piece of cement out of a ditch. I didn't lead it out. I drug the cement out. Anything that is led is alive. Always, that principle's never broken. And because you have been made alive, because you've been quickened into divine life, the Bible tells us this, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Yeah.
You've been made alive, not by your own will. Your own will is depraved. You ever heard somebody say, well, God wants us, you to have a free will? I want to tell you right now, your will's not free and it's never had been free.
No, sir.
No, sir. You know the reason why? Because your will never rise any higher than the nature that it springs from. And the nature that your will springs from is touched and contaminated with sin. It will never rise any higher than the nature that it springs from. But I'll tell you, when you have been chosen by God and called to approach to where He is, you're given another will. Another will. You're given another nature. And in this old man now, there dwells two men. An old man and a new man. And that's where the conflict comes, isn't it?
Yeah.
Spirit against the flesh, the flesh against the spirit. That's where the cross is. And you're going to have to live with that till the day you die. You're going to have to live with that as long as you live. I have a problem with it. I don't know about you. I have a problem with it. It's a constant fight for me. But I'm thankful to my friend right in the middle of the battle. Right in the middle of that battle. I find myself oftentimes doubting. I do, really. I doubt. But then, like that prodigal son who was away from home, somehow or another I come to myself. You ever come to yourself? Come to yourself? Come to myself. And I look at me and I say, oh, pitiful me. What a mess. What have I done, Lord? Oh, Lord, 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 I'm in such a mess. I'm going to throw in the towel. It's not worth it all. You know, it's just really not. You know, yesterday, when I got home last night, my little grandson was there. And I'll show y'all a picture after a while. All right. You know? And he sat down in the lap and laid his head down, waiting on me to get up. He looked up at me and he said, Pop, I sure did miss you. You believe that hit to you? Woo!
Yeah.
I sure did miss you. And I said, well, buddy, I missed you. And he went to sleep just like that. I want to tell you right now, when we come to the house of God, I want to tell you, and we sit under the sound and the influence of the gospel, like we've heard this morning, I want you to understand that we find a rest.
Yeah.
You hear me? There is not only a found rest, but there is a given rest.
Yes, sir.
You hear me? Come unto me. Now, that doesn't contradict what Jeff Patterson preached. No, sir. He said, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. John said, no man can come to me except the Father, which has sent me, draw him, in John 6:44. And then turned right around in Matthew 11:30 and said, come unto me. Is there a contradiction in the Bible? No, sir. It'll harmonize.
Amen.
It'll harmonize when you rightly divide it and properly apply it.
Yes, sir.
It will. Come unto me, all ye that labor, and I'll give you rest. Yes. There's a given rest. But I want to tell you in that same verse, he said, come unto me and you'll find rest for your soul. There's a given rest and a found rest. And in the arms of my Savior, I'm not seeing him face to face. I'm looking for that. But right here in Old Macedonia Church, in the arms of my Savior by faith, I find a rest that this world can know nothing about.
Right.
Down deep in my soul, there is a rest for me. And I'll tell you right now, if you're troubled today, you know what Paul said? Come rest with us. It'll do you good. You know why? Because you've not been born just by the will of the flesh or the will of men or what you've done or what you've tried to do, your benevolence or anything else, but you've been born from above, made a fit subject for the gospel address, and I affirm to you today that you're an eternal son of God, and salvation is yours, whether you ever understand it or not. And thank God, that's the reason I go back to DeKalb County, Alabama today, and I can rest.
Yeah.
Because I know that all that God chose, they will approach to him as God calls, and that in a wonderful and living way, that the living water, that living water that Brother Husky talked about, that living water in a wonderful way quenches the thirst of the soul that's been twice born. And today, I leave you with this thought, because I love this truth.
Yeah.
And I want you to love it. If you love God today, it's because he first loved you. But I want to tell you, you're a son of God. But if you want a given rest, a found rest, a rest in your soul, you make yourself the manifest son of God.
Yeah.
How do you do that? By following the principles,
yes, sir,
that God has laid down, because something has already been done for you. Thank you, my God.
Amen.